Bijvoorbeeld dus van Israël, niet zo doen, dat is dus dat werkt met de bracht van Allah. Twee Israël, en dat is er up to Shona Esrei. He took a break, he took a break for 3 weeks, if you notice. He took 2 weeks to spend with Abel Hanisa, and 1 week we learned about Anenu. Last week we learned the bracha of Anenu, and now we're going back to where we left it. The last time we were shooting on the Seder, we learned about Ezra's Yatsiv and Ezra's. Towards the end of the bracha, towards the very end, we come to the words Kilos Lekel Elyon. The praises Lekel Elyon. Baruch Mevarach. He praises to the God that is the Most High. Baruch Mevarach. He is blessed. Baruch Mevarach. He is blessed. I don't know what this means. Repetition. Bar says every single day. Baruch Mevarach. Is a double expression of blessing. It sounds to me more just like an expression. Moshe uvnei Yisrael l'chon yishtirah, Moshe and Bnei Yisrael will sing to you song, or song, b'simcha rabba, to you anu, in the past tense, to you in the past tense, anu shtirah, this goes back to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Moshe and Bnei Yisrael l'chon, to you anu, they raise their voice, shira song b'simcha, the Omer Chulam. There's a lot of different you can make in this expression. I just want to focus on maybe one or two things. One thing here is this idea called Shira Bissimcha. This is an idea which is worthy to dwell upon. There's a Shira that's not Bissimcha, and there's a Shira that's Bissimcha. A person can sing a song. What does a song mean? We typically think that a song is an expression of joy. And if there is no expression of joy, there's no joy, then that's a contradiction to the term shira. You see here in this note, that's not true. A person can sing a song, tzar. How could that be? How could it be something called a shira? To give shira by definition means to give praise, to has a connotation. I don't have the English words to translate this. But obviously, our translation of the word shira as song is not necessarily correct. Okay, every translation in the world will tell you shira means a song. And if we go to the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary of the English language and we look up the word song, I have no doubt in my mind, I didn't look it up, but I have no doubt in my mind, the way it's used colloquially, it means it is associated with the emotion of joy. And you learn from here that's not true. Shira, in essence, is really a recognition. It's an intellectual recognition of Hashem's brilliance, Hashem's ability to put all the pieces of the puzzle together in the most magnificent way. Okay, you can call me, it's Shira is basically an intellectual recognition of extreme brilliance and an acknowledgement of the being who has created, who has brought about an event, is far superior than we can even begin to fathom. Every Elahab and Elif Alfi Avdolis, they give the Nobel Prize in all many different fields except for mathematics. They give the Nobel Prize to many people in this world, Sweden, and it was acknowledged to be the most coveted acknowledgement of success and brilliance. And I know they have the Nobel Peace Prize. I don't know exactly what that's about. I don't understand how that fits into the picture of what the Nobel Prize is about. But the Nobel Prize is normally given to a person that has shown brilliance. Talent that is unparalleled in this world. It used to be at least. And not every science is very interesting for most of us. We look at these people and we read about them. We write them up, what they have accomplished, what they have contributed, and they try to describe what they've done in some simple words, some simple average man to try to appreciate what he did. I still can't understand Alman. Robert Alman, won the he won the Nobel Prize for economics for game theory. I asked my father many times to explain to me what exactly was he machadish. And my father explained to me, and I have no idea what he said. And I asked him, and after all, I just gave up. I don't get it. What exactly is game theory? What exactly does this have to do with anything about economics? How is this going to make me money? How will I be able to squeeze out a few bucks out of Robert Allman's brilliant, brilliant contribution to the world of economics? So to me, I don't get very emotional about economics. I get depressed. I don't get very emotional about it. But obviously, the more you study, the more you delve into his work, and for that matter, all of the people who have won Nobel Prizes, there's a certain awe when you can relate. Okay, this person is better than me. I could never ever do this. His mind, his achievements are beyond. But it does not necessarily bring with it joy. It's more of an intellectual awareness and a means of expressing yourself with eloquence to acknowledge the incredible success of another person or whatever we're discussing. Then there's a new level. There's a song that is sung besimcha. In fact, we say Keladon Kol Masim. We talk about that. We say in the Nusach. I should go look it up. That all of the. Let me actually go look it up right now. In the Pesukim of Zivra, we actually sing all of the elements of creation. They sing to Hashem every single day. They sing to Hashem as they go forth in this world, and they do Hashem's. Bidding. It's Mesaprim. Is there a word Shira? Masa Yodav Magid Harakia. In the Shemayim, the Mesaper. The Shemayim speaks about Kvod Hashem. It was Maisa Yodav, it's a Magid. Different terms. It's a Mesaper and it's a Magid. Yoim Lyoim Yabia. Yabi is another expression, is a word which means to speak, to express. Balaila, lelaila, yichaveh is another word which connotes speaking. Ein oimer, then it goes on to say there are no words, ve'in levarim, b'li nishma kolom, but yet their behavior itself is an expression of acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's his prominence, his mastery, and Hashem is everything. And then it goes further. Let's go even a little bit further. Throughout the entire world, does their line go forth? Their words. Okay, so kavam here means, I don't even know what that means. It means their line. They go forth straight. Yashar. Uviksei sevel. And the ends of the earth milehem their words. Is that what it means here, or does it mean their fullness? I think it means their fullness. I don't even know what this means. So Vic say the ends of the sevel milehem. I think it means their fullness. Kava means their precision. They follow a very set pattern. And in addition to following a very set pattern, they also, on the other hand, they encompass everything. La Shemesh. Song oil bohem, he goes forth over here, different expressions. Okay, this is not exactly the pasuk I'm looking for, but it's good enough, because here you do find this principle that the Shemayim and the Oretz are speaking. The Shemayim is Misaper, the Masa Yodav is a Magid, the Yom is Yabia, the Laila is Yechaveh. These are expressions. There's another expression called Shira. That's also just an expression. Shira is a more sophisticated form of expression. I'll give you an example. Every single day, Hayom Yom Rishon, Shabo Hoyu Halavim Oymim Beis HaMikdash, L'David Mizmar. Every single day we say, after davening is over, we say the Shira of the Levim. How can we call this the Shira of the Levim when we just mumble the words? I've never, ever, my whole life seen, after davening, someone pull out a guitar. But the Levim sang Shira, it says. It says, it says. It's we sang. They were saying words. They were saying, it says words, but the words in Chazal's understanding is the Levim sing Shira. The Shira that they sang it with a melody. It was musical instruments. The musical instruments that accompanied the Machlokes
and the Gemara. Right, you're saying the words.
But if you're saying the words, Hayom Yom Yishom Shavu Hoyu HaLevim Oymrim Oymrim Beves HaMikdash. How can we downgrade it? That's an insult. If it's cool,
no, we can't downgrade because we're not Levim and we're not on the steps. It's automatic.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I think there's another Nikud which I want to bring out. I hear what you're saying.
You have staff songs also.
Okay, so then there's still. Okay, so you're saying you're staff songs also. Okay, so you're saying I hear what you're saying, but I want to try to bring out is that not necessarily is a song include an emotion of joy. We, in our limited vocabulary, always associate a shira with joy. That's not necessarily correct in Lashon HaKodesh. A shira represents the big picture. To be able to put together a collection of events and causes and effects and see how everything comes together to produce the most magnificent result. That is called a shira. Now, does that...
We always have Moshe Rabbeinu shira, we have Shir Shal David, Shir Shal Devorah, so, all events that took place in the...
So do those events, were they sung b'simcha? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu, it says...
More with the power of HaKadosh
Baruch Hu. So exactly. So it's not necessarily a song of simcha. What is very unique about when we write, we say at the end of our nusach.
Well, your soul also have at the end of Ma'ala. It says it's the Rei Ashira Azos. That's why
Chazal
have a problem with calling it a shira.
So what does it mean, the Erev Rashi?
Is it talking about Azinu? That's no shira.
Oh, exactly. 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 So there it says Kizat Shira. The first one, when it says Rei Ashira Azos. In the big picture, I think it refers to Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the pasuk from which we learn that you're obligated to write a Sefer Torah. Now, how does that work? But the pasuk says Shira, and as Ramayevsky just said, the word Shira refers to Hazinu. So this very simple interpretation is, you're not allowed to write just part of a Sefer Torah. So once the Torah tells you to write the Shiras Hazinu, so the Melo, you have no choice but to write the rest of Chamishe Chumshe Torah. That's what it says. And that's mamash what it says in the Farshah. That's very forced. That shot. Many other Rishonim thoroughly disagree. And they say that the Torah itself, from beginning to end, is called Shira. Now, whether you want to say the Shira first to Hazinu, or you want to say the Chamishe Chumshe Torah first to is called a Shira, what are you talking about? This is not a song. This is not a lullaby. The Torah, either Hazinu, is a very, very painful description of history with an enormous amount of Musar. And if you want to refer to Kol HaTorah Kula, but Kol HaTorah Kula, it's the same thing. Kol HaTorah Kula is something which encompasses the everything from beginning to end. That's exactly what a Shira is. A Shira by itself does not include within it any emotion whatsoever. A Shira is a document, pretty much, or it's a composition of describing how many different things all come together and are integrated to produce the most magnificent product, which is this world, which is all hidden in the words of the Torah, or Hazinu, which is the description of history, of world history from beginning to end. That's a Shira. When it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a very unique new element, which it actually does not say anywhere in the Torah. As Mr. Rappaport just mentioned, it doesn't say this in the Torah, but yet Chazal, Nusrat Chila, they added one word which totally changes everything. And that is Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Nuchot Yuanu. They raised up their voice, Shira, Besimcha, with joy. That's a different world. That is a league that is completely changes the essence of the Shira. It's not just an awareness of how everything has come together to achieve the perfect result. When the Mitzrayim were drowned in the Yam, Klal Yisrael now are able to look back in hindsight and understand how every sorrow, every detail that they suffered for the last 86 years, or you can go back and say 190 years, whatever it was, every little thing, 210 years, Redu Shabbat, everything all came together to produce the perfect result to give Hashem what is the purpose of this one was created for. And just because you intellectually can come to that conclusion, who says you're so happy? Who says you're happy about it? Who says you there's going to be a simcha? It's intellectual. Oh, that's what's unique about the Shir Sayyam, this simcha. Now, in other words, what am I saying here? What are we really trying to say? Shira be'etzem is the ultimate intellectual experience. Simcha is a word which is the ultimate emotional experience. It's extremely rare in this world to have both of them together. We always joke around in the morning about the Litvaks and the Hasidim. The Litvaks, they really come from Rav Shaul Salanter. Rav Shaul Salanter was the Musr movement. Musr is pure intellect. It's an intellectual approach to life. And it requires discipline. It requires hard work. And at the time of when Hasidus began, the Baal Shem Tov, the masses of Klal Yisrael were falling to the wayside. Because it got to a generation where most people were not intellectuals. And if the only way you can come close to Hashem is through an intellectual approach of studying Torah, analyzing, thinking, and seeing how everything in this world fits into place, it's not for the masses. Most people don't, it's dry. They're not stimulated because they don't have the mind for it. And even those that have the mind, they don't have the time, or they don't have, it didn't work for many people. Along came the Baal Shem Tov and his students and generations and all the whole story of Hasidus is they said, there's got to be another way. We have to save the Hamayinam. And the way they saved the Hamayinam was to serve Hashem through emotion. Emotion. And to downplay or to put on a back burner the intellectual approach. And this, of course, created an enormous rift between, let's say, the students of the Gra and the students of the Baal Shem Tov. What is the proper way to serve Hashem? And there was a very great break in Klal Yisrael. And it took about 300-400 years until today, more than ever before, is it clear as day to everyone, the only way to survive is both. You have to have both. You have to have the intellectual approach, and you also have to have the emotional approach. People are only going to focus on the intellectual approach. They don't make it. They just don't make it. And people who solely focus on singing and dancing and inshallah and hugging everyone and kissing everyone, it doesn't work. It's just void of any value. And it's clear in this generation more than ever, the synthesis of serving Hashem with an intellectual approach, together, integrated, synthesized with an emotional approach. Shira is the intellectual approach. We make that mistake. We think song. That's not the correct translation of the word Shira. It's not the English word song. The English word song in our vocabulary, the Oxford unabridged edition of the English language, will certainly inject into the translation of the word song emotion. There's going to be an emotion. Whether you want to say it's going to be an emotion of love, or maybe you'll say even you'll have sad songs. So it's a sad song. Yeah, but sad song is also emotional. That's not what a shiur is. A shiur is to take all the parts, line them up, put them all together, and acknowledge that the sequence of how all of these things came together is beyond belief. It's in a class by itself. But that does not necessarily mean that you're involving your emotion. Simcha, joy. You have nachas with your children. You have good food. You go to the mikvah and a nice hot schwitz. That's simcha. That's not an intellectual pursuit. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they achieved as an introduction to Matan Torah, Lecha Anu Shira B'Simcha. They achieved the synthesis of the intellect with the emotion. And that is how we enter into the Shemona Esrei. We enter the Shemona Esrei with this acknowledgement, because when you daven, everyone knows, if you daven to Hashem dry, it's nothing. This is not the way you daven. Davening, by definition, needs emotion. But you have to have the right words. You have to be eloquent. You have to have good arguments. You have to be able to understand what you need. There has to be a very, very deep level of intelligence that goes into ask for the correct things, like we learned today in the morning today about the Musa of Zechariah. What kind of question is this? You come to Hashem, you ask a question. You have an opportunity to have an audience with Hashem. Walk out. What do you ask? You ask the wrong question. The whole pshat in the Radak, in the Mamluk, you learn today is you're not asking the right question. This is the Hakdama to Tzvila. These words, Moshe, is part of the end of the Geula. This is the Bracha, Bracha, including with Geula. And the end of Geula was Kriyas Yamsuf and Shiras Moshe. This is all part of the process of Geula. It's not just Hashem took us out of Egypt. Part of the Geula is Kriyas Yamsuf and Oz Yashir. And here's where we mention it. And the way it is described here requires insight, requires proof, because I'm not aware anywhere. It's not so easy to find. Where are you going to find the source? And as Mr. Rappaport said, what's the source? What's the source of what it says over here in this Nusach, that when Klal Yisrael, indeed, they left Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim, and they, after Kriyas Yamsuf, they sang the Shira with joy. It sounds more like Vayi Ru'u Hames Hashem. They were afraid. They sang the Shira out of Yira, not out of joy. Where do you see the joy?
Shira and Tfilah of Bigmatria the same.
What?
Shira and Tfilah of Bigmatria the same.
Shira and Tfilah of Bigmatria the same. Okay. So Tfilah is the same.
I'm wondering if anybody says it, but whatever.
That's pretty good. But this is what it is. It is a Shira B'Simcha. This is not a term that we take lightly. It's unique. Let's go to another. I want to talk about briefly the principle of being soymeich. Let's talk about answering a halachic question, and then I want to try to bring that into an important machshava idea as to why this is an exception to halacha. What am I talking about? I'm saying these very vague, funny words. When we finish this bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. Do we answer Ani? I mean, ordinarily you would assume that if you're davening with a minyan, you're going to finish yourself first. Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, and you're going to wait to begin Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Rofi Agiti Masecha, and then shortly thereafter the Shlach Tzibu will conclude Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, and it's natural for a Jew when he hears someone conclude a bracha, you'll answer Amen, and then you'll say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Rofi Agiti Masecha. Is that correct? Now there are many opinions that say that it is correct. I can't give you the names, the whole roster now, but there is no doubt about it that there are definitely opinions that hold that if you, end up finishing early, and you're waiting for the Shlach Tzibur to conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, and you're about to say Hashem Sefasai Tivchach, and you hear the bracha, and you finish off the bracha, yeah, you should say Hashem Sefasai, you should answer Amen. You should definitely answer Amen. There's no question about it. You can find many, many opinions that say that it's correct. Now, I'll tell you the big chiddush, which none of us do ever have even heard of. There are many opinions that hold. Not only should you answer amen to the shliach tzibur, you should answer amen to your own bracha. Before you begin Hashem sefosai tiftach, you should answer amen. Baruch atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. Amen. Why would you do that? Chazal say that it's maguna for a person to answer amen to one bracha. This is not proper. The answer is that is only true when you say one bracha. If you make a bracha shakol niyemizaro, you make a hamotz lachman aretz, you don't answer amen. But if you recite a series of blessings, when you reach the end of the series, that's what you're supposed to do. And the classic thing that we all do, uvinei Yerushalayim yakodesh, b'meher v'yomein baruch atah Hashem bonei v'rachmav Yerushalayim. And what's the next one that every single person concludes? Amen. What? Amen. How did you do that? How does every person, when they bench, they say amen after they finish, uvinei Yerushalayim? You're not allowed to answer amen to your own bracha. That's the end of the third bracha. What's going on? The answer is that many elaborate, but the answer basically is that in HaTorah, there are only three blessings. The fourth blessing is a new blessing that they established after whereas in Yavne or Usha, it was established by the Bezna and the Bezna. What are the what they did later on in commemoration of the miracles of the Harugei Beitar? That's only the Rabbanim. With the Raisa, there are three blessings. And being that there are three, one, two, three, it's a series. And if it's a series, at the end of a series, you're supposed to answer only into your own blessing.
That, why don't we just say it then by the brachas we make in the morning, Asher Nelson, Sefavina, etc. What do we make? About 10 brachas, and then we end it also.
Right. So, yeah, you should know. Well, we don't do any of this, by the way, so let's not get carried away. I don't know. We have to go back and see what the Mepharshim say there. You may be right. But we don't. Anyway, you've never heard this before. We don't do this. But there are many places. There are places. I just had a whole reading right before we started this year. And you're supposed to make amen when you conclude the bracha of Goal Yisrael to your own blessing. We don't do that either. So we don't make a bracha. That's not our minhag. For whatever reason, we don't do that. We don't answer amen to our own blessing. And not only that, we are taught. And this is the halacha, you do not answer amen to the bracha of the shliach tzibur. If you finish early and you wait for the shliach tzibur to do baruch atah Hashem goal Yisrael, do not, halacha lemaisa, psak halacha, shulchan aruch, ramah, mishnah berurah. The bottom line is, after all of the shachar v'tari, all of the mishnayim, and everyone says their opinion, the bottom halacha is codified in the code of Jewish law. Do not answer amen to the blessing of the shliach tzibur. It would constitute a hefsek between geula letzvim.
You don't do that if you finish later also.
What?
If you finish after, you're up to Miku Meicha, and he's already up to Goal Yisrael.
No, never, no. If you're in the middle of bracha, you do not answer amen. Almost never. You don't answer. Even if you're behind him, or you're after him, you don't do it. So what's the solution? What's the ideal? One solution is that the shliach tzibur should conclude baruch atah Hashem goal Yisrael in the low voice. He should fade out. Okay, he should fade out. Nobody should hear him conclude the bracha, so nobody gets into the shayla. This is not advised. This is something which I don't remember who says this, but it's frowned upon. This solution, it's not proper. The more popular solution that most Muslims say you should do is that you should end off your blessing together with the Shliach Tzibur. The Shliach Tzibur is Baruch Atah Hashem, as he says, so you end off Mila B'Mila with him. So just like you don't answer Amen on your bracha, so you're not going to answer Amen on his bracha because you're ending off. That would appear to be the ideal thing to do. It could be the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch says that the Shliach Tzibur should say it very quietly. Maybe I think it's a kitzur that says that the shliach tzibur should fade out. So these are the two solutions. You go to a shul, you're going to hear one or the other. Either the shliach tzibur is going to fade out, or you're going to end off together with the shliach tzibur. When I was in yeshiva, they taught us way back, he says that that's not the common, even though Shulchan Aruch says this, it's not the common minog, and the common minog that we accept from most of us, what they taught us is, you should end off the Meshachim, you should say the bracha loud and clear, Mila b'mila, don't slur the words, and everyone should end off together with it. That's the halacha. That's the bottom line. So we view, Me'ikar hadin, you can answer on me. Oh, is it a hefsek between Ru'ula and Tzvila? You're not allowed to be mafs. You have to go straight from one to the next. It's not called a hefsek. Answering Ame to the bracha of Goal Yisrael is part of the bracha. Answering Ame is a chelik of the bracha. You can't say that it's a hefsek to answer Ame. So even though it's not really a hefsek, the minig is, the accepted law is, we don't answer Ame. Even though you can argue it's not a hefsek, and you can even argue that you should answer Ame to your own bracha, being that it's the end of a series of blessings, again, we don't do it. We don't answer Amen. So what should you do? Either the Shlach Tzibur will fade out, or the more popular minhag is the Shlach Tzibur should say the bracha loud and clear, as you say a bracha. Don't fade out. It's not their cheretz for Hashem to fade it out. The Shlach Tzibur says it loud and clear, and you should say the bracha together with him, Baruch atah Hashem Goal Yisrael Hashem Sefosai Tiftach. Now, that's halacha. Now we learn part two, Drush. Why? Why are we doing all this? If we really want to acknowledge that it's not, does not constitute a hefsek to answer Amen, so say Amen. What's so terrible? So say Amen. You tell me it's a hefsek? Come on, it's not a hefsek. It's part of the bracha. You answer me. Why are we going out of our way, halacha l'maisa, bedafka, not to answer Amen, to say it along with him, or to say it quietly? Why? So let's explain why. It's something very important. In order to understand why, we have to learn, review a basic halacha, a basic principle. Chazal tell us, Godol ho'oine Amen, yoyse min ha'mavarech. The one who answers Amen is greater than the one who makes the blessing. He's even greater. He's on a higher level. Why? Why is that so? Why? There are many reasons which I don't want to just focus on one particular reason that is relevant to our discussion. When a person makes a bracha, he in essence is presenting two ideas. He says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu. Blessed are you, Hashem, who's our God. You're acknowledging that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And you're acknowledging that he's ours. He's our Hashem. And then you say an entirely different principle. Melech Olam. Not only are you our God, you are the king of the entire world. So what do we have? We have shame malchus. And then you go on to say whatever is necessary. If you're eating a food, if you're eating an apple, boirei pri ho'etz. If you're eating a vegetable, boirei pri ho'adama, shahakol mi'ebe baroi. If you're making the bracha of birchas ha'torah, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayis ha'vitzivonu la'asoy b'divrei sorah. Or Asha Bochar Bonami Kolwaman Ben Nasalan Westara Soy. He's making brachas. Very nice, beautiful. And then there's a person who's listening in the earshot. He hears you make the bracha and he wants to participate. Gamani! I also want to go thank Hashem. I'm not eating the apple, so I can't make the bracha. But I want to affirm. I want to affirm and acknowledge that everything that this fellow said, I agree. Amen. The Amra Ha'isha, Amen, Amen. You want to affirm. So what is the word that you use to affirm? Aleph, Mem, Nun. What does that word really mean? Well, before we get to the real meaning of the word, let's look at the acronym, which Chazal tells us the acronym. Because the acronym, there's a lot of emes in the acronym, and it comes back to the real word, the word itself. Kel, Melech, Ne'eman. There are three letters. Aleph, Mem, Nun. Kel, Melech Ne'eman. God is a king who is faithful. Now look at that. The one who affirmed that it's true has added a new concept that the one who made the blessing did not mention. The one who made the blessing only mentioned that there's a God and he's the king. The one who answered Amen has said three things. Number one, I affirm there is a God. Number two, I affirm that he is the Melech. But I want to tell you something, fellow. You left out something very important. He's Nemo. He's faithful. You know, our politicians are not faithful to us. Human beings are not faithful. They do things for ulterior motives. They're not faithful. A human being is not a faithful person. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Nemo. And the person who answers Amen is giving the one who makes the blessing Musa. Excuse me, sir. You left out something very important. He's not just a Kel. He's not just a Kel and a Melech. He's also Neman. And in fact, you know what the word Amen means? Amen means faithful. Amen is the root of the word Emunah. Kasha Yisoh Oimein Es Hayonek. A nurse. A wet nurse. Why is a woman who nursed a child called an Omein? Why is she called? Because there is no faith in this world like the faith that an infant has that his mother will feed him. A child is naive, no matter how smart he is. He doesn't know about this world. He doesn't understand that this world is corrupt and you'll get nothing in this world unless you fight for it. And yet this little baby, it just has faith. My mother will come and feed me. I know it to be true. It's not too sophisticated yet to be. The purest faith in this world is the faith that an infant has that its mother will feed him. And that's why mother is called an Omein. Vayehi Omein es Hadaso. Kasher Yisoh Omein es Hayonek. The word Amen comes from the word Omein. Omein. Faith. The word itself means faith. But it also means, it's an acronym, Kel Melech Neman. Okay, so now we understand why the one who answers Amen is greater. Chazal, I'm not making this Chazal say. The one who answers Amen is greater than the one who makes the blessing. Because the one who answers Amen, he says the word Emunah. Okay, now let's come back to our question. Isn't it bizarre? All the time, everyone, you know, there are people that they get to go to shul early. Remember, they go to shul early. There are some very holy people who come very early to shul, and they go out of their way to recite brachas to each other. Why? So someone should answer Amen. Someone answers Amen to your bracha that enhances your bracha. It's mashlum the bracha. And you take turns. You make the brachas, they answer Amen. They make the bracha, you take turns. Each one says the bracha, so it is Amen. They say the bracha, you answer Amen. It's a beautiful thing to answer Amen to a bracha. And yet, when it comes to Baruch HaTov Hashem Goal Yisrael, we're twisting backwards not to say Amen? What is going on here? Why are we doing this? Why are we bending backwards not to say Amen? And the answer is, the entire Shmoneh Esrei is one big Amen. That's why. When the Shliach Tzibur says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hashem Yibaruch Atah, and this also, by the way, goes back, this is the Hasima of the Bracha. The Bracha really, it's a Bracha Hasimucho Lechaverta. That doesn't, MS V'Yatziv does not begin with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. The reason why the Baruch of MS V'Yatziv does not begin with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam is because it's Samuch to the Baruch of Ahava Rabba, which also does not begin with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, because it is Samuch to the Baruch of Yoytzer. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Yoytzer, Baruch Hashem. So basically, it's considered that the Baruch began with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. And now we finally get down to the end of the blessing. The chasima is a ne'ein. Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. And now there's an expectation for you, the listener, to say, excuse me, sir. excuse me, you only said, you only mentioned two things, that there's Hashem, and that Hashem is the Melech. You left out something very important, that Hashem is Neman. Excuse me, you left out the most important thing. So instead of saying, Ami, why don't you do something even better? Why don't you daven a whole Shmona Esrei of 19 blessings? Because the only way this Shmona Esrei has any value whatsoever is if you understand that the most basic ingredient of coming to daven to Hashem is having emuna that He can help you. In other words, the whole Shmona Esrei is one massive amen. So if you're going to say, the Chazam said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Go'al Yisrael, and you're going to say, amen. So you know, you say, and then you're going to say, Hashem Sifas HaTiftach. You know what that sounds like? Yeah, amen. You know, you forgot something. This Kel Melech, he's Neman. Have a nice day. See you later. We're done with that. Now, I have to go to court. I got to go to court. No, Hashem Sifas HaTiftach V'yagid L'Sacha. And you have a laundry list of things that you want. I want a new car, a new house, a better job, shidduchim for my children, and free time, and I want to get the vaccine also. And if possible, let's get rid of all corona to begin with. I have a long laundry list. Do Hashem, are you faithful? No, not really. I have a lot of complaints against you, Hashem. I have a lot of kindness on you, but not for now. That's how you daven? That's the attitude, the way you daven. I have a long laundry list, and Hashem, I have complaints. You know, if I was running the world, I would do things differently. But listen, you're in the driver's seat, so I don't have a choice. I just keep my mouth shut, and I'll just do my part. If that's your attitude to davening, then you're in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble. The attitude when you daven is everything about davening. Hashem, Hashem, you're Neman. I have no complaints. You are faithful. You have power. Everything you do is for the best. You're Neman. If you're going to answer Amen and then start the Shmona Esrei, it's almost as if you're saying, Amen, the faith goes for Goal Yisrael, the past. You redeemed the Jewish people 3,000 years ago. We're done with that. Now we got new problems to deal with. And these new problems, Hashem is not home. He's far away. No, I'll send him a message. I'll send him a WhatsApp. Maybe Ulai will check his WhatsApp messages. Maybe we'll get around to it. We'll take a look at it. But he's not gonna really tell me anything. That's a big problem. You don't wanna behave that way. So Chazal were extremely clever. And they said, Baruch Atah Hashem, Go'al Yisrael. Don't answer Amen. Do something better. When you want to talk that Hashem is the Redeemer, He's the Goyal, which relates to the whole purpose of this world. This world is all about a process to bring the ultimate Geula. Don't just answer Amen. You know, in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't answer Amen. It all ties into that. They said, Baruch Hashem li'olam, Amen. Baruch Hashem, they answer a whole long nusach. Baruch Hashem li'olam, Baruch Hashem min ha'olam, vi'ad ha'olam. Amen v'amen. Something like, I don't remember the Gemara. Why? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a higher level of emunah. There's a higher level. But when you daven you do even more than what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, when they answer the blessing, they did the Gemara, so the whole discussion, what exactly did they answer? They changed it. They first did one thing, then back to Karsim, started saying that Hashem is only in this world, so they changed it to another Nusach, they changed it again. A whole God, it's a Chad God, what happened? What? Guess what? Every single person in the morning, he does even more than they did in the Beis HaMikdash when a bracha was made. Our Amen is the entire Shmona Esrei. Because the entire event, the entire matzah of standing being Amen Lefnei HaMelech, is one expression of emuna, one massive expression of emuna. And that's why we're not ma'asim. We bend backwards, not to answer amen, not to get into a halachic dilemma. We shouldn't. So we say it together, or the chaz and shliach tzibur, he tones down, and we work it out that we should bedafka not say amen to show that the whole shmona esrei is one big amen to acknowledging that Hashem is the goel. Okay. We're out of time, but next week we're going to start the Shmona Esrei. Just to be aware, everyone, you know, they probably want a nice drush. Sur Yisrael, Kuma Yisrael, Yisrael. It says in this pasuk Yisrael five times. Sur Yisrael, Kuma Yisrael, Yisrael. Ufeichin Umechim Medim, like you said, Yehuda Yisrael. Goyaleinu Edimas, Hashem Tzavokah Shemoi, Kidosh, the Holy One of Yisrael. Where I leave out? Where's the fifth one? Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. Fine. Okay, so there are five times in this last expression, Yisrael.
God only has four.
It's four. Sur Yisrael. What?
Yehuda Yisrael, but leave it out.
Who leaves it out?
Lubavitch,
because right. they count. All right, I don't know about Lubavitch. I don't know. We have to answer that. Okay, but all of the Svarim talk about this. They talk about the five, and why is the five Yisro? Why this is the reason? Because they all say that all the Mepharshim say they kineged chamisha chumshei Torah. And what all of a sudden, Chamisha, I mean, you know, you can say it every time, the number five. Yisrael, v'oiraisa, v'kutsha b'richu chatu. One of the most important, Mamari Chazal, the trial, this chut ha-mishulash. Yisrael, klal Yisrael, v'kutsha, v'oiraisa, and the Torah, v'kutsha b'richu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. When we now enter to daven to be oimed lifnei hamelech, to stand before Hashem, this us, this klal Yisrael, we're oimed lifnei Hashem. You can't be oimed lifnei Hashem. There cannot be a chibur of klal Yisrael before Hashem without the Torah. And therefore, we have to allude to the Torah HaKadosh in one way, some form or another, and to say something five times, Yisrael, five times, the number five, it's called Chumash, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The number five represents Torah, so we're coming now to create that band, Yisrael, V'oraisa, V'kutsha B'ruchu Chatu. When we come to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we as Klal Yisrael, Mitoich Divrei Torah. The Koich of Torah is what will grant us success in our requests, in our quest to come close to Hashem. Rabbi Yisrael, thank you very, very much for joining us tonight. A wonderful evening. And in Yerush Hashem, we will resume tomorrow. Good night.
Amen. Amen. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Good Shabbos. Be well. Yeah. That was originally said, then they changed it. All right. Okay, Zion, everybody said, be well. Take care. Mr. and Ms. Vlad, Yashkoch, thank you for coming. Thank you very much. Good to see you. How's everything by you? How's everything?
I went to my eyes and different eyes. Eyes and what's his first name?
Yosef.
Yosef eyes. I go to his chair. So here. Rav Kanievsky and his wife used to dab and brothers together. They each say a name to I heard that from Rabbi Eisen.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Shabbos, Shabbos, do Ezra Fried, how are you doing? I haven't spoken.